Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
NFL insider from radio.com, also the host of Home and Home, and he's going to tell us about that. Returning to the program, let's bring in our friend Ross Tucker. Ross, good morning.
Bob, what's up, dude?
I'm doing all right, man. Let me ask you this, going back to the Super Bowl. To borrow a phrase from the late great Denny Green, in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54, in relation to their quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo, were they who we thought they were when it was all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, probably. It depends on what you thought of Jimmy Garoppolo going into the game. You know, it is kind of crazy that for the first 50, 52 minutes, I thought Garoppolo played better than Mahomes. I thought it was the worst game I think I've ever seen Mahomes play. You know, he had multiple horrific interceptions that were totally his fault. He had another throw in the dirt. Even the play before the play of the game, the 3rd-and-15 bomb to Tyreek Hill, you know, Tyreek Hill was wide open on a comeback route. Mahomes shorted the ball. Tyreek Hill had to trap it. They overturned it. I remember thinking right then, wow, this is just not his night. He just doesn't have it. And then after that, he was, I think, pretty much perfect the whole rest of the game. Garoppolo was the opposite. I thought was pretty steady, did a lot of positive things. And then late, when there were some opportunities, he was obviously not able to take advantage of it. So it was a tale of two parts of the game for both those guys, and they couldn't have performed differently over the last 8 minutes.
I think, Ross, Kyle Shanahan kind of said it all right before the half, you know, when, why didn't you call timeout? I didn't want Kansas City with three timeouts and that quarterback over there, you know, and I think it told a lot about what he thought about his quarterback, because he didn't have faith enough with three timeouts and a minute something to go to start winging it around. That told me everything I needed to know about what Kyle thought of both quarterbacks.
Well, the two things I think are interesting there. Number one, you know, whether it's conscious or subconscious, Jimmy Garoppolo has to know when there's a minute left at the 20-yard line and you have three timeouts and you hand the ball off on first and second down, Kyle Shanahan it doesn't matter what he says. He is showing the world that he doesn't have that much confidence in you. And whether Garoppolo looks at it that way or not, and whether it's conscious or subconscious, I think deep down he knows. I think deep down he kind of realizes that. I didn't have a problem with Kyle Shanahan not calling timeout after they stuffed the Chiefs at the 49-yard line with a minute and a half left or whatever, because – you know, what if they downed the ball at the one? And they almost did, by the way. They, you know, the DB, like, dove in. They almost downed it at the one. You call a timeout with a minute 35, minute 40 remaining, and then only to have the ball down at the one, you probably are helping the Chiefs get another score at the end of the half, the way football is now. So I was fine with the no timeout. But then you have the ball at the 20 with a minute left,
yeah,
a really good kicker, three timeouts. That is an eternity. And then they ran it first and second down, no sense of urgency. I personally, and I wrote about this in my column this week for The Athletic, I personally thought that was the worst thing Shanahan did all game, was not throw a screen or run that angle route to Wilson out of the backfield like he did on third down. I don't know why he didn't do that on first or second.
It's the Texas rot in San Fran's offense, Ross. Let's talk a little bit about the Ravens offseason a little bit. Your opinion of Matthew Judon, because the Ravens, you know, do you franchise him? Do you pay him big bucks? But Bob and I have kind of come to the conclusion that he's Robin, he's not Batman. Your opinion of, you know, Judon?
Well, a couple thoughts. First of all, the Ravens have come up a lot this week as I've been talking with people around the country, because everyone's been asking me the question, about whether or not the Chiefs are a dynasty, whether or not they can be a dynasty. And I've said a couple things. One is, it's really hard to be that. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Dan Marino went to a combined zero Super Bowls after their first one. But the Chiefs are about as positioned as well as anybody has been in a long time because they don't have that much competition in the AFC. Mm-hmm. I mean, on some level, and we'll see what happens with the Steelers with Ben back or where Brady goes, but on some level, it feels like the Ravens are the one team in the AFC that can prevent the Chiefs from going on quite the run here. You know, to have a guy win the Super Bowl MVP in his worst game ever, that usually means he's pretty good. So that's the first thing about the Ravens. You know, I'm okay with your Batman and Robin analogy. I guess my issue is this. It feels like every other time the Ravens let one of these guys go, the next guy is there and ready and waiting in the wings, right? Like, it just seems like every time the guy is about to get to free agency, has a big year, whether it's Kruger or McPhee or whatever, they always kind of have the next guy in the pipeline ready to pick up the slack. If you let Judon go, my question is, who is that guy?
They don't have it.
Like, I don't know that they have it. Is it Ferguson?
No.
Is it Bowser? Is it Ward? For the first time in a while, I don't think there's a clear guy. Like, they let Za'Darius Smith go. I think that they thought, you know, Judon will be able to pick up the slack, and he did. But if you let Judon go, I'm just not sure who the next guy is.
And the other big questions, especially, you know, defensively, Ross, is inside linebacker, because they don't have a linebacker that plays like you have to play in today's football. You know, three down guy that can cover, you know, usually more of an undersized guy that has coverage ability and can run and make plays. They need that. And they also need, Michael Pierce is probably gone. They don't have the replacement for that either.
Yeah, and they had to go with guys like Pecco and Ellis just to have some veteran guys. You know, I'm sure somebody's done a study on this, but off the top of my head, I cannot imagine there's been another team over the last 5, 6, 7 years that has lost more players to free agency than the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, it just seems like every year the Ravens, it's like, okay, the next year, okay, here is Juszczyk and somebody else. All right. Then the next year it's this guy and that guy every year. And I don't know what to say other than I think that they could and should do a better job of extending some of these guys early, because it seems like when they keep letting these guys get to this point, those guys get big dollars elsewhere, and the Ravens are left kind of trying to figure out how to fill the void. It seems like it's been going on for 8-10 years now.
Ross Tucker joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Insider for Radio.com. Home and Home is the show. He's going to tell us about that here in a minute or so. Before we let you roll, Ross, Dallas, Dak Prescott, what happens here?
I think they get a long-term deal done. I think the franchise tag thing is just posturing. I don't think the Cowboys, although, you know what, he played well this year under the gun.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm talking myself out of it. Maybe the Cowboys believe he plays better when there's pressure on him. Maybe they put the franchise tag on him. I think if you're the Cowboys, you are delaying the inevitable. And I would try to get the deal done before Patrick Mahomes, you know, gets $40 million a year. I know Dak wouldn't beat that, but it would still raise sort of the ceiling and, you know, make it more economically understandable for Dak to ask for 36, 37, whatever it is. I think the longer they wait, the worse it is. I think they're just putting the franchise tag out there as a threat because most players don't want that. I don't think Dak wants that after having to play the last year of his rookie deal. On a one-year deal, I think that they know he wants to be known that he's the guy now. He wants the security. I think they'll get it done.
Tell us about Home and Home there, Ross Tucker.
Yeah, well, so every day we come up with really important topics. Today it was, when you are sick, do you shake hands with somebody? Or do you say, I can't shake hands with you, I'm sick? It's a very
Remember Spurrier, Ross?
What's that?
Remember Spurrier? He had to fist bump everybody, and then if he shook somebody's hand, he went and washed his hands after.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember a lot more than that about that guy, that's for sure. I remember having two pass protections and no hot routes and him trying to audible to Patrick Ramsey from the sideline to change the play. It was like Bad News Bears. I also remember we never practiced if it rained, which was pretty awesome, actually. You know, it doesn't matter, Bob, what job you have. It's nice when you get the day off.
It's a very
Everybody's lazy. Everybody deep down is lazy. And
yeah, pretty much.
Spurrier, it would rain at all. He'd be like, yeah, we're not going to go out today. We'd be like, yes, that's awesome.
But the shaking hands is a very Kirby enthusiasm sort of
I know. They said they did something similar on that. I came to the conclusion that, and you got to listen to it, if you know the person, you fist bump or you say, I'm sick, dude. If you know the person. If you don't know the person, like Radio Row last week, I was a little under the weather. I just shook everybody's hands. There's about you're shaking a million hands. It's their job to wash their hands.
Good point.
Or get the hand sanitizer. I'm not going to go up to all these people I don't know and be like, sorry, I can't. Then you're the weirdo that won't shake anybody's hand. So I just shook them.
Yeah, I agree with you. Put that coronavirus out there for everybody. Ross Tucker, radio.com, NFL Insider. Home and Home is the show. Do you shake hands or not if you're sick? And share that with everybody else. Ross, we appreciate the time. If we ever see you up close in person, we'll share some Mick Ultras together.
See you guys.
Multiple, by the way. All right, see ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.